In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. While Jesus has just completed outfoxing and outwitting the scribes and the chief priests regarding the earthly authority and God's authority, and of course, they tried to set him up, but they failed. They fell. And the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, Satan's henchmen, they've been trying to nail Jesus to the wall for a long time. Yet, little did they know, in a few days he would be nailed to the dead wooden tree for the forgiveness of sins for all mankind. And here comes another one of Satan's henchmen, the theological progressive liberals of the day, the Sadducees. The Sadducees were about as friendly with the scribes and the Pharisees as our current Republicans and Democrats on the Hill are. The Sadducees, they just don't believe, as you have heard, in the resurrection and certainly the divine existence of angels. And so they're setting out once again to entrap Jesus with his own words. They're going to dangle the carrot, the bait out, using levirate marriage. We got him. And so they say, "Teacher, Moses wrote of the man, his brother dies, having a wife, but no children. The man must take the widow and raise up the offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second and the third also took a wife, but without children. And likewise, all the seven without children and died. And afterward, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as a wife." And you could just imagine them kind of sitting back and thinking, "Now we got him. Now we got him. Get the handcuffs out. We got him." But of course, the Lord knows all. He knows what's in their puny little minds that they think are so great when they deny the resurrection and the divine existence of angels. And in Jesus' typical fashion, he turns the tables on them again. And first he sets out to set the theological record straight about marriage and marriage in heaven. There will be no marriage in heaven, period. In light of the resurrection, your question is about as important as the scribes and the Pharisees' question, "Ask me." And so he really ignores the levirate marriage. He goes right to the heart and the core of what this is all about, and that is the resurrection of the body to eternal life. For those who have endured faith to the end, they are equal to the angels. They are the sons of God, being the sons of the resurrection. Well, the Sadducees at this point in time, I dare say, well, I don't know, but maybe they were kind of mumbling, "Burn it. I thought we had him." And then he mentions angels. "We don't believe in him." But that's the way it is. And so as they begin kind of to scratch their heads, Jesus turns to the resurrection and once again turns the table on them, because he goes all the way back to what they really love to hang their theological hats on, the Pentateuch, the Old Testament, Moses. Forget the rest of the Old Testament. But the Pentateuch, that's where we're going to hang our theological hats on. And so he goes right back, especially to Exodus 3, which you heard read a few minutes ago. And so Jesus continues. "But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live in him." If God is a God of the dead, then we, as well as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all, are physically and spiritually dead. We have no hope, and we're hopeless. Nothing but despair. So when they put us in that casket or an urn, put us in the ground or some other place, we're dead. That's it. It's over. Nothing more will happen. then you might as well lock up the door on the resurrection of the incarnate Son, Jesus Christ, and throw away the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Dead is dead. We're not even, if that's true, of course, we know it's not, but if it's true, according to the Sadducees, then we're not even the walking dead. We're dead. He is not a God of the dead, but a God of the living. As Jesus points to the book of Exodus, as we said to Moses and the burning bush, there is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And since the Creator has come into his creation as the incarnate human creature, Jesus Christ, too, brings this new creation to all of us. All things must have their life in him, as we do through water, word, and faith. And I think this is, of course, one of Jesus' testimonies of ushering in the eschaton. But there you have the eavesdropping scribes. They're kind of listening to every word that Jesus is telling the Sadducees. Yet they aren't going to start a buddy system, even though they agree. Say, that's a pretty good answer. They're not going to start a buddy system because they fear his answers. No more questions. They can't stand the truth. And there's the truth right in front of them, Jesus Christ. He is the one, the truth, who gives us this day in his body and blood, soothing medicine for body and soul, proclaiming the death of Jesus Christ till he comes again to judge the living and the dead. Jesus is here. He is here. He is true God of the living. He is the God of the living. And you and I both know when it comes to funeral sermons, this is so important for people to hear. As we plant the seed and water it, and God causes the growth in their heart, that he is a God of the living, not a God of the dead, and that they are with him in Christ. You and I know that our Redeemer lives, and we live in him. And what comfort this sweet sentence gives. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.